Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE SmackDown Live.
Well, Darren, I must say, very much a holiday WWE episode this week for sure. Some good in-ring action, and some decent storyline development, but minimal. I'd like to get your thoughts overall on how they did from just the show perspective, given the circumstances tonight. But also, they've got a really big show next week that they had to promote. And, John Cena is a part of that. We got video packages. We got the Roman Reigns and the Bloodline in the ring addressing everything. So first and foremost, just give me your take on the overall show tonight, given the circumstances, as I said. And then grade how you thought WWE did hyping up next week's show, which is obviously a big one for them.
Overall, okay, there was nothing that was really bad, but there was no big standout thing. It was a textbook edition of a pre-Christmas Eve edition of the show where they know families will probably be sitting around on a Friday evening watching it, and it was entertaining to serve that purpose. So it was good, and if there's people who are not familiar with wrestling, they would probably find it entertaining if it just happened to be on the television set. And also keep in mind, this was the second TV taping from last week's edition in Chicago. So there's a little bit of hangover from the big show that they had last week, and they're like, well, let's, put on a second edition of the show. And obviously it's not going to be as good as that one last week. So there were two things going on there, but considering it was fine, and also, as you mentioned, they had to promote a big show last week, which I'm understanding they really want to do a big rating with. And they did a good job of laying the groundwork for that, really building up Raquel Rodriguez as a big challenger. And, of course, John Cena is the big draw for that show. And they did a tremendous video package, as they always do with the packages. And it also kind of padded out the show a bit, so it's dual purpose for that as well. But I think they did a very good job of showing the importance of Cena coming back and making next week a really big show.
Yeah, I did too. I thought they did a nice job given the circumstances. Like going into the show tonight, I think you were a bit misguided if you thought that like it was going to be some kind of like storyline heavy show. It's just not the time for that, given that Christmas Eve is tomorrow and Christmas is Sunday and people got other things going on. But that being said, I thought they used the time tonight wisely for a handful of different reasons. Number one, as you mentioned, John Cena, like the video packages that they did on him, or I guess the one video package, it seemed like more than one because it was so long, but it highlighted his entire career from the first match that he wrestled against Kurt Angle to the stuff with The Rock to his Make-A-Wish stuff and everything in between. So I thought that was really well done. And if you didn't know John Cena for some reason and you were watching the show tonight, like that package gave you a sense of, wow, this is a really big time star that's coming back. And then if you do know John Cena, like, I think the video package also did a nice job reinforcing that this is a big star and we're presenting him as such, and you should watch to see what's going to happen. And then on top of that, you had the little promo at the beginning of the show that Roman Reigns cut and Sami Zayn spoke about, about John Cena, about Kevin Owens picking him. And I thought that it was interesting to see Sami Zayn kind of take a different, more serious tone, towards Kevin Owens, because he's been kind of he's been a very popular member of the Bloodline for sure, but there has been a hint of comedy with the Usy stuff and just his dealings with the members of the Bloodline. And tonight, he was all business. And so I think that layered in with the John Cena promo helped kind of build some interest and intrigue in that tag team main event next week. And then, like you mentioned, Raquel Rodriguez got some nice time in the ring, winning the gauntlet match. she beat Shayna Baszler and a host of other women on SmackDown, and you know, is positioned as good as she probably can be on a quick turnaround like this with 1 week's, you know, official hype towards her title match against Ronda Rousey. So I think it checked boxes, and it was that kind of show, and it, within that context, I think it was good. What did you think of the Bloodline promo to kick off the show?
This is one of the few times where the Bloodline comes out, and it wasn't anything eventful. It just served its purpose of building up next week. That was the main focus of it, a very serious Sami Zayn, as you pointed out, which is a nice change of pace, showing just he realizes how serious of a challenge this is next week with Owens and Cena. So they did serve that purpose, but it was one, like the show itself, if you missed it, I mean, you didn't really miss anything too much, which was a theme overall. But solid work by them, but nothing that you need to go out of your way to see, definitely. Just pretty much a setup for next week, I thought.
Did you get any sense of where WWE might be going with a finish for next week based on what you saw tonight?
No, they didn't really hint, and that's really a big draw for next week. How are things going to end up and what it's going to lead to? And I didn't get one way or another any kind of indication of where this might be headed. So that just, you know, that, which is not a bad thing. It's just going to add more intrigue to going into the match. But no, I did not get any indication which way they were kind of leaning.
Yeah, no, I didn't either. And I thought that was, you know, in one way, nice, you know, because you don't really know where they're going to go. I think that you could talk yourself into a lot of different potential finishes with that match next week, and there's a lot at play, you know, with John Cena involved, Roman Reigns involved, of course, Kevin Owens, who is on a collision course to have a title match against Roman Reigns at some point. So there's a lot there to dig into, and I thought, yeah, they kind of played their cards close to the vest tonight. All right, Darren, we'll get into all that. Well, I want to get into the Bray Wyatt stuff a little bit. I want to get into excitement for Solo Sikoa versus Sheamus, which is also next week, that I think is going to be a heck of a match. We can talk a little bit about that. And then we'll let the callers kind of lead the way too. But let's set the table for the show first. This is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show covering the Friday, December 23rd edition of WWE SmackDown. I'm PW Torch assistant editor Zach Haydorn. Wade is on assignment tonight. You can catch him on the VIP side of things with his Wade Keller hotline running down the entire show tonight in pwtorch.com/govip if you're interested in VIP membership. If you need a last second gift of some kind, that is a great one. pwtorch.com/govip. You have with the membership, ad-free version to the website, access to all the VIP exclusive podcasts, ads and plugs removed from these shows, and so much more. You can really lose yourself in VIP membership. So if you're interested, or you know anybody that's interested, pick up a membership now. Once again, it's pwtorch.com/govip. The other voice you hear with me tonight is that of pwtorch.com contributor Darren Lilly. Darren, it's a pleasure to do one of these shows with you, man. It's first time for us here, and excited to talk a little SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for the invite, and looking forward to talking about tonight's SmackDown show.
Yeah, man. We'll open up the phone lines here and see what kind of action we get on the phone lines and what people want to talk about. 347-215-8558 is the number. The lines are open right now. That's 347-215-8558. And we will kick things off tonight with 410. I believe this is Reverend Keith in Baltimore, 410. Reverend Keith, this is you. Great to talk to you. Happy holidays. And what do you think of SmackDown?
Happy holidays, gentlemen. Always good to talk with you. It's a pleasure to hear your voice once again, Zach and Darren. I thought tonight's edition of Friday Night SmackDown was pretty exciting, considering, as you guys have already alluded to, you know, 2 days before Christmas, and being that it was a pre-tape from the Rosemont and Chicago, I thought they did well. I mean, I like the way that they kept it entertaining. you know, they knew, as you said, that it would be a lot of families watching. They kept it funny. You know, I really like the Miracle on 34th Street fight that they always have, and they also always repeat this match at the house shows during Christmas week. It was entertaining to having the ballerina come out the box, and they'd have the two men that were dressed up as tag team champions with the low blow. I thought that was hilarious. You know, I don't recall them ever doing that before, but it gave the fans something to cheer about and something to laugh at, and it was entertaining. And I also like how they finally announced that Samantha Irvin was Ricochet's real-life girlfriend, which most of us already knew. But I thought it was cool how they put her in the storyline and had Strowman had the mistletoe up, and that the kiss gave her, Rick unlimited power, and he all of a sudden fired back. That was funny. What were your thoughts on the way that they scripted that match?
Yeah, I thought it was fine too. I mean, generally, these matches are really have kind of different feelings about it from different perspectives. Like, I totally could understand, you know, sitting in front of the TV if you've got some family, you know, in town and like kids are younger and you got pro wrestling on and you want to put on something like this that can appeal to them. That's a little comedy, a little pro wrestling and everything in between. And so I think from that end of it, from that perspective and with that context, it definitely delivered and it had its moments. The one thing I don't like about those matches is like they, you know, the connotation of street fight and the fact that you used like, you know, candy canes and Christmas trees as weapons. And later the same type of like they'll book a street fight and it'll be, you know, something more serious. That I think is just a little difficult to kind of explain. But as me being nitpicky more than anything else, I think for what it was tonight, Darren, like it worked. It got some laughs. It was lighthearted. And I think that's exactly what they were going for. So mission accomplished.
Right. Yeah. I thought it was pitch perfect knowing what kind of audience they might potentially have tonight. And so the new twist worked really well. Cute little twist with like the New Day as nutcrackers and then doing the low kick. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah,
When Braun went for the mistletoe, I thought he was going to try to kiss Samantha, which would have been super awkward. So I'm glad they didn't go in that direction. That would have not been so cool. But what they did played out pitch perfect. So good stuff from them. So
they're audience. And I'll say this too, you know, Ricochet actually in that moment showed some personality. I think he has a hard time, like, I don't know, showing like that kind of genuine personality. The guy is just incredible in the ring. Obviously, there's no debating that. But he's yet to find like a solid character on a promo or on a, you know, vignette or pre-tape or whatever. And in that moment, it was like, oh wow, okay. Maybe that's like a little bit of the real Ricochet personality there. Like he opened up a little bit, and I thought that was interesting, Darren.
Yeah. To put him in that main event, and I believe that's his second main event in a row. So that's he's capitalizing on that momentum, and that moment itself, he did show that personality. So he's taking advantage of them giving him the ball, and he's running with it. So good job for him. And I think they take notice of stuff like that, those little moments like that. And he rose to the occasion when they gave him that opportunity. So good for him.
Yeah. And WWE also takes notice of, you know, doing these types of matches well, and like, you know, going with the flow with what they are, I think goes a long way, you know, in terms of like, that's like, look, it's part of the presentation. It's part of what they do. You know, in Halloween time, they got the trick or street fight or whatever with the pumpkins and skeletons or whatever. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, being able to do this kind of thing well, but also being able to have a serious Intercontinental Championship just 1 week earlier, that's the kind of range that they look for in their top players. And so, you know, Ricochet did show that from last week to this week. So that's it's something to watch. Reverend Keith, back to you, man, for any other thoughts and comments.
Okay, my second of my 3 points, I wanted to mention that I thought that the women's gauntlet match really showcased a lot of skill and athleticism. Case in point, when Liv and Raquel were going toe-to-toe, I thought that that was a good match, and it made me want to see a rematch between the two. Xia Li had a coming out performance tonight because, you know, she had been on the shelf for a while. So it was good. You know, I thought that they were just going to phone it in with the women's gauntlet match. But I thought it was a showcase of skill and talent. I still believe that they could highlight Emma's wrestling skills a little better. It seemed like they're putting more focus on her narrative skills and her being with Madcap Moss, because they're an item in real life as well, with the slap that we saw later on the show to Scarlett Boudreaux. But I would like to see them showcase her wrestling skills more, but it looks like that's yet to come. But overall, I thought that match was pretty exciting. Your thoughts?
Darren, what'd you think?
I wasn't as impressed with the gauntlet match. I thought they kept the matches fairly short. Xia Li got a little bit of the shine there, so that was good. But I think she's kind of slotted as a mid-carder is my takeaway from that. Liv Morgan, I thought her segment out of all the matches was probably the best out of all of them. But again, her momentum has really been slow since losing the title. I thought that she might be more of an upper kind of gatekeeper role, but that hasn't really panned out as exhibited tonight. Like, she's kind of – Raquel just kind of stepped over her. Although the match was good, but I don't know how well that bodes for Liv, who I thought did very well, but we'll see how her push goes. But it looks like they really are getting behind Raquel, and at least for the coming up, the match coming up next week, but we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, I'm more with you, Darren. I think I don't think it was a bad gauntlet match, like by any stretch. And the reason I say that is mainly because of Raquel Rodriguez. Like the goal of that match was to get momentum behind her. And to that end, I think that they accomplished that goal. Again, like essentially the match had they've been kind of like teasing Raquel Rodriguez and Ronda Rousey for quite some time. Now they're actually gonna have this match, but it's really on, you know, the match is official for 1 week only. And so I think that's gonna limit what they can do to build a serious interest. But, you know, they did have a couple weeks of interaction, and you had Baszler and Rousey take Rodriguez out. I think it was last week or maybe the week before. And so there is, you know, a pattern there. And then tonight, like, you got to see on display Rodriguez in full. Like, she got to show her power moves. She got to show her personality. She got to show her dominance. And then the booking was very much in her favor in terms of all the women that she beat. So, these gauntlet matches usually serve a purpose of some kind. I don't necessarily judge them based on, oh man, we're all the matches equally as good for each person involved. Cause I just don't know that they work that way. And I think you have to have a focus in them. And if you achieve the goal of highlighting that focus, then thumbs up, and everything else around it is just kind of, you know, icing on the cake. And so Xia Li, I thought looked pretty good. I don't know that she elevated herself at all. Liv Morgan played the role of, hey, this is the woman who's the credible former champion that Raquel Rodriguez is going to take out, and everybody else just kind of served their purpose. So, you know, Keith, I give it a thumbs up for achieving the goal that it did. I mean, it wasn't full of, you know, 3-star classics or 4-stars or 5-star matches or anything like that, but, you know, Raquel Rodriguez is ready to face Ronda Rousey, and that was the point. Back to you.
True, and I agree. You know, it had some good spots, but it could have been better. But like you said, you know, it worked for, you know, building towards the match next week, which I think is going to be a nice match between Raquel and Ronda Rousey. And I had read in a recent publication that Ronda had said she wanted to work with both Liv, which she's already done, and Raquel. So this will be a good breakout moment for Raquel, and also it'll give Rousey a chance to compete against someone that's larger than her and someone that can brawl and has the strength that she has. Most of her opponents here recently have been more of finesse opponents, or, you know, mat technicians. So this will be a somewhat different type of match opposed to what we're used to seeing from Ronda Rousey. Now, my third and final point, gentlemen, of the evening pertains to next week's main event. It'll be good to see John Cena back for the first time in a wrestling ring this year. I know he came back for was it his birthday or something earlier in the year? What was that he was on? I think it was Raw. He came back for something.
Yeah, it was his the 20th anniversary of Cena celebration. That's what it was. It was like an anniversary thing that he came back for. But it was on Raw, yeah. And it wasn't a match either.
Right, I remember. So this will be exciting to see him, you know, wrestle for the first time this year. And I know you guys had discussed the finish. I would not be surprised to see Owens pin Roman to set up at the Royal Rumble. You know, I know it sounds far-fetched, but I can see them going in that direction simply because I think the end game is to have KO challenge Roman at the Rumble, and this could be a way to get to that match. You ever thought about that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think, I mean, depending on what John Cena's like situation is for WrestleMania, like this could be an avenue to get to multiple matches down the road. You know, I mean, like they're clearly building up Roman versus Kevin Owens, and so I very much think that this will be a significant chapter in the build to that, whether it's a TV match or whether it's at the Royal Rumble, which is what I would imagine they're going to. This is going to be a big chapter in that match. John Cena's involved. Roman Reigns doesn't work every SmackDown, so his appearances have to build stories in an efficient way. So I definitely would say that it's going to feed that story. Also, though, depending on what John Cena's availability is, you may see hints of what Cena may be doing at WrestleMania 2 as a means to protect him a little bit in a finish of some kind, or just because Cena's not going to be available that often, when he's here, you got to strike and you got to do some things to move stories along. So I think you could see that too, Darren. What's your take?
Right. I think they're expecting a big audience for next week, and I would expect something big to go down, and Reverend Keith's suggestion of having Owens beat Roman would accomplish that very well and get people talking and get people, the people who are on the borderline, like, hey, I want to see how this plays out. Is this guy going to beat that Roman Reigns guy for the title? You know, casual viewers might be looking at that, and I believe that was my thoughts when I saw the setup. They might be setting something up for Cena, his movie schedule, TV schedule, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to have a lot of time to build up, so this is the time to pull the trigger with a lot of people watching for him as well. So I expect something big to come out of next week, and I think Owens winning would really get people talking. That would be a great way to go.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, it would get people talking. I don't know if I agree with you guys on Owens pinning Roman Reigns to the, like, that I still think is too, that's almost too big. You know, like, if you do it then, like, it's not like the shine is totally off because it's not for the title, it's not a singles match, but it's a little off. Like, seeing Roman pinned for the first time in 3 years or whatever it's going to be by the time it happens, like, that's a major thing that I think you want to protect. And so you can have Kevin Owens go over, and you can have him go over Sami Zayn in this, and I think that works. I would pump the brakes at him actually pinning Roman Reigns. That's just, I think there's too much equity there that you kind of just throw out the window if you do that. But I mean, it certainly would get people talking, but I think it'd be a waste. It would just hurt the the future of what that will look like for somebody if you kind of start doing it in tag matches to build interest. I think you got to, you know, build interest other ways. Reverend Keith, back to you.
Okay. Well, we'll see how that ends up next week. So if you were booking and closing, if you were booking the match, how would you have it end on next Friday night?
And if I had all resources available, I would probably have the Bloodline win, and I'd probably bring Austin Theory, get him involved, and kind of do something to Cena to start a potential match between those two guys. I think that, you know, that takes care of a lot of the protecting that guys in the match need, you know, like Cena is protected because Austin Theory interfered and now he's got direction. Kevin Owens is protected because he didn't really lose the match. The Bloodline still gets to win. And so they still get to keep the swagger that they have. And then the main thing is you get something big for Cena. And I think that's important too, if he's going to be around for WrestleMania. So that, I think that's what I would do. How about you, Darren? Given the stipulation being you have anything at your disposal.
Wow, that's a lot of booking power. I don't know if I'm ready for all
that. I know.
Yes,
great power
is.
Comes great responsibility, Darren.
That is a lot of booking power. I agree.
Yes. I still, with all that said, the thing that would get the people talking the most, and it would be giving away something big, because Roman, I can't even recall the last time he got beat, even in like in a tag match. Yeah. That would be something that I don't think it would diminish him too much, but it is giving away something big. And you would start 2023 off on a big note of Roman wanting to get his revenge of avenging that pinfall. So I would go that route, but I don't know if he actually will. We'll see.
Well, that's why I would say
that's how I would book it.
Yeah, that's how I would book it. I would have Roman get pinned. I know it's like unholy, so to speak, you know, in the wrestling business right now to have Roman get pinned. But that's how, like Darren just said, that would start 2023 off on a hot note as far as topic-wise in WWE. Like, wow, Roman got pinned. What's going to happen at Royal Rumble when Kevin Owens challenges him? It would have people wondering, although we know they've gone at it before, and we don't expect Kevin Owens to win. But at the same token, you know, I think it would bring more eyeballs to the product, and it would set the tone for a different Bloodline versus all the baby faces storyline leading into 2023. But we'll see. Like you said, I wasn't even considering the fact that they could be setting up something with Cena. I wasn't even thinking about that because I wasn't sure if he's going to be around for 2023. But that would be nice as well, like you said, to have Austin Theory interfere, but I hope they don't go that route because I'd rather not see Theory get involved in the match, because you know you're already going to have a Bloodline get involved. So then that's like 5 against 2.
Right.
You know what I mean, Zach? So I'm hoping they don't go
Theory. Yeah, it'd be a lot of bells and whistles for sure. But as you guys said, you know, we'll see. We'll see soon enough.
Well,
Reverend Keith, thanks so much for the call, man. I hope you have a great holiday.
Thank you, and you do likewise, and may God bless you, and have a great holiday and good new year. Talk to you soon.
You too. Thank you very much for the call. All right, up next, we'll go to our friend Sean in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Sean, happy holidays, man. Thanks for calling.
One of my biggest supporters, Sean, on Twitter.
Yeah. What's up, Sean?
Guys, what is going on? Well, first I wanted to say, you know, definitely always glad to hear Reverend Keith on here, man. I he's always got some good stuff, man, and I wish him a Merry Christmas as well and a Happy Holiday. And Zach, man, always good to talk to you. Darren, it's good to be on with both of you guys. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing great. Doing good, Sean. Good to talk to you as well, man. What did you think of the holiday show this week?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I kind of do differ with Reverend Keith a lot tonight, and I love him. He's got a lot of good points. I just, I, you know, I do disagree. the Holiday with the, you know, the Miracle on 34th Street fight, you know, it was kind of funny. There was some cool stuff in there. And I know it's a Christmas season. They're going to always have that stuff because WWE, you know, we've said they're always going to do that kind of thing. And they're playing to a certain audience. And, you know, I'm okay with it. I just, that doesn't mean I have to like it. I don't have to enjoy it. I really didn't enjoy it. The New Day's stale. Yeah. I'm sorry. To me, they're stale. I don't like them anymore. They can kick people in the nuts all they want. I don't like them. They're not funny. They're not clever. They're not whatever. You know, WWE can try to do whatever they want to make them feel, you know, funny, but I don't enjoy them. And so that just kind of took me out of it. The Ricochet Samantha Irvin stuff was funny. That I thought was kind of, you know, cool. Something a little different that you don't normally see. I mean, that was fine. But I just, you know, that kind of thing I just don't like, and I don't enjoy it, and I'm in the Christmas spirit. I mean, I love Christmas. I enjoy it. I love the family aspect of it, but I don't have to like that. Am I way off base on that, or what do you guys think?
No, I don't know. No, I don't think you are at all. I mean, it's not my cup of tea either, to be, as I mentioned, you know. I just don't like those kind of street fights because in a month and a half time, there's going to be another one that WWE wants you to take very seriously. And so it's just a little bit contradictory to me. And so, yeah, it's not my cup of tea either, you know, and it's just, I look at it through the lens, or I try to look at it through the lens that, you know, it's, not necessarily for me. And do they do what they tried to set out to do well? And that's where I kind of give them a thumbs up, but yeah, it's certainly not my cup of tea. Like I would have preferred, you know, give me Solo Sikoa versus Sheamus any day over this kind of a match. But that's just my preference. I think they still came out of the night kind of doing this type of match well. And it's going to be a thumbs up from some, and there's going to be others like you, Sean, that are like, yeah, okay, I'm about done with that. I'll check in after the holidays when they can get back to regular wrestling. What, Darren, what about you? Is Sean being unfair here?
No, not at all. I don't have a problem because obviously it's silliness, and I don't think we're necessarily the target audience for that type of match. It's more for the casuals is the kind of impression that I have. So naturally, no, I do not have any problem with anyone being turned off of that because I don't take it as seriously either and just kind of eye roll on some of it. Sure, they added some fresh elements to what they've done in previous years, and I can appreciate that, but I mean, that's not my preference by any means whatsoever, so I can certainly relate to what Sean is saying.
Yeah. So, no, Sean, I think you're being fair, and hey, and even if you weren't, you know, you're allowed to like what you want to like, so it's all good.
Yeah, no, and like I said, it was okay. Like, you know, I didn't hate it. I didn't like it either. It was kind of just, it was what it was, and I you know, enjoyed the show overall because, like you were saying with the video package, or no, the question I was going to ask you guys was, is it me? Because I don't keep up. Like I said, I'm not a social media person. I don't keep up with all that stuff. I don't have time to keep up with all that stuff. I wish, you know, I did. I wish I had 30 hours in a day, but we only have 24. So. Have you guys ever heard of the SmackDown Lowdown? I've never even heard of that. I didn't even know they had a SmackDown talk show still. I had no idea it was even around. They talked about the Ray Angel stuff, and this is how they came. I'm glad they showed how they came to the match, but I'm like, I've never heard this show even exist. Like, was I crazy to not, like, how did that even get there? I'm like, what? SmackDown Lowdown, kind of a cool name.
Yeah, so
it's kind of a cool name, but, phew.
It's exactly like, what the heck was that? Whatever the SmackDown post show was called, like Talking Smack. It's
Talking
like that,
yeah.
but more like raw talk, where it's like there's some interviews, there's some backstage encounters, and that's about it. Like it's a very, just like Raw Talk, it's like a very, okay, you can miss this show. Like, and my guess is most people do. So, but I mean, like it's one of those like self-fulfilling prophecies where it's like, okay, you know, you got, if you want people to watch it and pay attention to it, you got to start giving people a reason to do so. And so, Sean, I don't know now that if you're going to be a regular watcher of the SmackDown Lowdown, but you know, I think think they would say right now, well, it served its purpose, because now there's one more person out there that knows what the heck that show is.
Yeah, it was just funny.
Darren, do you watch that show?
Like I said,
absolutely not. It's funny that Sir Tom brought that up, because I had the same question, and it took me a second, and I was like, I bet that's the post show. I imagine it's on Peacock or maybe the website or something. I don't know where it airs.
Yeah, it's Peacock. Yeah, it's Peacock. On Peacock. Yeah.
Is it? Okay. Okay. But I had that exact same thought that ran through my head, and then it promptly left because I didn't care. But
so real quick, Sean, let me use this as a talking point, because I want to make sure that we get to this, and I think it's a good one. Darren, for, you know, Rey Mysterio tonight gets the win. Clearly, you know, he's got something going on with Karrion Kross. Is Rey pulling anything else positive out of Karrion Kross here, or are you kind of in the boat of like, oh, same old with Kross? And we, you know, it's just more of the same.
It's going to be asking a lot of Rey. He's going to be carrying a lot. I think that Rey can get something out of him, even at this stage. He can. It's going to be a struggle. My guess is that you're going to see Dominic and his group come in and do something to cause Rey to lose, because I think you have to segue back into that feud for WrestleMania season. So I think you're going to see them at some point, not necessarily in their first match. I think he can bring something out of Kross, but if he doesn't, I mean... Whew, Kross is on. I would think he's on thin ice if Rey's not able to get anything out of him. Because I mean, who can at that point?
Well, exactly. I mean, in some ways, Rey is like the ace in the hole that WWE can play. Because it's like, it's rare that, you know, Rey can't get, you know, a good match out of somebody just because Rey is who he is. Like, it doesn't even have to be like a 2-star classic. It just has to be like it's Rey. You know, people care about Rey, and he's sympathetic, and he's just a great babyface. So any heel is going to look great opposite him. But the thing is, it's like not everybody's Rey, and you know, you only can go to the well with Rey one time. And I haven't seen anything extra from Karrion Kross here that tells me that he's improving. This character, like, to me, if this works, it's working because of Rey, and whatever Karrion Kross goes to next, like, he's got the same issues. And a lot of it, I was watching him tonight, and it's just like, my thought, Darren, is that I just don't believe in this guy. Like, not from like a, I don't believe that he can be a good worker or he can be a big star. It's just that the character that's out there, I'm like, this is just not believable for whatever reason. And I don't know Karrion Kross. Maybe this is exactly who he is if you see him at, you know, Jewel. But for whatever reason, there's not a symmetry between what I like see from him on TV and the things that he says and the things that he does. And that to me is like the biggest miss of all, because if you can't buy what somebody's doing, you're kind of building feuds and you're building character development and you're building just the entire story of your character on the show on a top of a house of cards that can break down at any minute. And I really continue to get that sense from Karrion Kross, Darren, even if he's working with somebody that should be able to bring out the best in him in Rey Mysterio.
Right. I think a lot of the problem is that it's just not coming off as natural, and it's just not him. It's very forced. And when he comes on, I get the whole feeling of, here comes the acting portion of the evening where we're about to see a performance. Yeah, this guy is, you know, he's about to do some acting. He's going to play the tough guy, mean wrestler. And it just kind of takes me out of it. Like, oh, here we go with this again. And it's not connecting with at least me. Obviously some others, you feel that way as well. And that's a problem, that they've got to get his real personality out there. I mean, he might be able to break through, but this right now is just not working. It's just too forced for me.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to work on that.
Even like the entrance too. It's like, he's got this big, huge, like dark entrance. That's cool, and it has its moments. But then he's walking backstage, and he's just got like a leather coat on, and you know, he looks like everybody else looks, and it's like that doesn't. To me, that's like a very big disconnect. Like, why would the guy in like the leather jacket all of a sudden, you know, have this like dark entrance with the big eagle thing or whatever bird flying behind him, and then like the big red thing and all the heavy metal music, the hourglass. Like, it's like there's a disconnect there. And I think when I think of that character, that's what I think. I'm like, this is just a constant, you know, it's constantly disconnected from itself. And I think that's we're continuing to see it. And to your point, which I think is a good one, if Ray is not able to write that, boy, there's some issues. There's some issues. Sean, back to you. We kind of took the ball there for a minute because you brought up Rey Mysterio. So I apologize for that, but it's a great topic that I noted in my notes. I wanted to make sure to jump on it when it was relevant. But back to you on anything Rey Mysterio related or a different topic altogether, man.
Well, going back to the, you know, stuff with Cross, I'm of course with you guys. I'm not into the, you know, Cross's character. I'm not into it either. I mean, I'm intrigued by his match with Rey because I was with Wade a little bit on the backstage with him and Rey the week before. I thought Karrion was better there. I mean, I still didn't love it, but I thought it was better. And I'm like, well, I'm intrigued to see what they do with him and Rey. I mean, I still don't believe in it, but I'm at least willing to give it a chance and see what they can do. But I'm not the bar is very low for me so far with him. He's going to have to up it very, very highly. And I wanted to say, Zach, just to be funny.
Yes.
But I know Jewel is a Chicagoland store. I live in Tennessee. People don't have Jewels in Tennessee. Come on, man. Like, I know it because I used to live up, you know, near that area. And I will say that, man, I know what your weather feels like, man, because, golly, it was 19 below zero here this morning, and, man, it was freaking cold. Golly, Jiminy Cricket. Dude, I feel for you up there all the time, man. I feel for you. I truly feel for you now.
Well, man, I hope it warms up for you because regardless of whether you're quote-unquote used to it or not, negative 19 is not fun. It is not fun, and it's stay in your house and watch TV or hang with the family and that's it type weather. So hopefully, man, you're able to do that.
No, it'll get better. Thank goodness it'll get better here. Thank God. The gauntlet match, I kind of disagree with the Reverend Keith a lot on that too. Like I'm with you guys on as far as I didn't care for nearly as much. It was number one. Gauntlet matches are starting to get overdone now. I'm starting to not enjoy the gimmick as much as I used to. Like, I thought it was a fun concept at first, and now WWE's done it more and more, and so now it's kind of like, like, I don't know. It's fine. Let's see what they do. And with the women, I hate to harp on what WWE is doing with the women, but they're building some of these women so poorly that the only way they can get them in matches is to put them in six-pack matches, gauntlet matches, just to put them out there for these, like you said, 2 or 3 minute matches where you have Emma. Okay, you bring back. Yeah, okay, she's, you know, in a relationship with Madcap. Well, done is lose on TV since she's got there. So what is Emma now? Really nothing. Emma's just kind of Emma. Whatever. She's very charismatic. She can be, but she's lost every time. Then you have Xia Li, who, again, I don't see much in. She's okay in the ring, but I don't see much there character-wise. You have her beat Tegan Knox, who, yeah, she's in a tag team with Liv, but you have a chance to build up Tegan. You have her lose in like 2 minutes to Xia Li. How does it help anyone? It doesn't help her. It doesn't help Xia Li. It doesn't really help anybody. Then you have Raquel, who, okay, I went online during the match to see if you can move a broken elbow, and I guess you can. I guess there's movement you can have. They beat her down week after week after week after week, and like, she's moving. They're like, oh, she can't move her arm. She's moving her arm to body slam people. She's moving her arm. She's doing a lot of stuff with her arm, and they're trying to sell that her elbow is don't get me on a rant on that. Okay, whatever. So, Raquel, I like Raquel. I don't dislike Raquel. I think they're doing some good things with her. I think it's hard making her sympathetic because she's so big and so, you know, a bigger woman, so it's hard to build sympathy on her. I just think the match overall, but like the finish with Liv was bad. The bomb, the Tejada bomb didn't look good at all. And that way it made Liv look kind of weak the way they finished that match. And Sonya, I can go on Sonya forever. What have they done with her? Absolutely nothing. So basically what I'm trying to say is with Raquel, they're doing a good job building her up, but I just know that's the thing about this match. I hope they have a really good match. But again, if they're going by this notion of, oh, her arm is so messed up, she can't do anything. Look what she just did tonight. So apparently she can do something, and she's going to lose to Ronda. We all know that, but it's in the I guess the point of the match is how good does she look in the loss, and can we really believe in her going forward? So what do you think about all I just said there? Because I know that was a lot.
No, I think it's all really fair, and I think it's good to call it out, and for a couple different reasons. Number one, you know, from a booking perspective on SmackDown, I very much agree. I think it's a weak women's division for sure, and just because you trade wins around and you trade people being, featured and winning matches, and then not featured and losing matches, like just because you kind of trade that around doesn't mean your division on the show has depth. It almost means it's like Chicago Bears quarterback syndrome, where it's like if you have two quarterbacks, you really don't have any, and it's like that. Like they got to pick, they got to choose. Are you going to try to build Xia Li into something, or are you going to try to build Tegan Knox into something, or are you going to try to keep Liv Morgan hot? I think you do have to kind of tear out that division right now, because it's Ronda Rousey at the top, and then I think there's a big batch of other women, and people kind of visit up there with Ronda Rousey, but there's nobody that feels like, okay, the company's behind this person, except for Raquel right now. But before, a couple months ago, it was Shotzi in main events, and before that, it was Liv in main events, and they kind of are just trading off. And so I think it would really behoove Paul Levesque to like get that more squared away. And I think Raw, he's done it on Raw, and granted, he's got more talent on Raw to work with, mm-hmm. for sure. But it's a reason to kind of define your division a little bit. As far as like the selling goes of the angles, I think that's a great call out, Sean. Like Raquel Rodriguez has to be better in that role. Like if she's gonna have 2-3 weeks of Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler taking her out, injuring her arm, injuring her leg, and whatever, like you can't come out there and just forget about all that, because as you said, she's a big woman, she's got a great physique, and so they told that story that way so that there was some sympathy on her. But if she wrestles these matches and doesn't put that back into it and doesn't factor that into what she's doing, it really neutralizes the angle and her ability to tell good stories. And so I, if Paul Levesque's not dictating that to her, that's obviously on him. If she's just not doing it, that's on her. But I do think you want to be consistent there, especially with her, because she is such a presence out there. Darren, what do you think?
Sean brought up some great points. One of them I want to get back to was the gauntlet match and them overusing it. They definitely have, because I would say going back to when Kofi was in that gauntlet match that led to Kofi Mania, they've used the gauntlet match as a device to try to break someone out of the pack. And they've used it very effectively, but recently they kind of used it as a crutch. And I think they need to use it more sparingly, like to try to get some, they try to get someone over like they did tonight. I think they kind of wasted it tonight because you didn't really make anyone look that good. And that's the point. Obviously, they were just trying to make Raquel look good. But by doing that, it looks like you're kind of giving up on Tegan already, who just made that fresh start just a few months ago. And now it looks like she's somebody that can just get beat in a minute. And I don't know if that bodes well for her, which – brings me to a larger point. We talked about Cross and we're talking about Tegan. Some of these people at Triple H and they're bringing back people seemingly on a weekly basis, Xia Li tonight, they have just not panned out. For instance, like Cross, he's heading to a make or break program. And earlier we saw Hit Row go up against the Usos, and they're not exactly setting the world on fire, at least in my opinion. And some of these people, I understand trying to bring people back, but I don't know if he's making the right calls on those people that he's bringing back.
Yeah, you know, I think that that's going to be really interesting to watch. And I wish I could just ask Paul Levesque this question via text or something, but I can't. Seems like, you know, these people have been brought back for depth, and the sense that I get is that it's like, all right, they're there, they're going to get some opportunities, and they got to turn those opportunities into something. And I think, like, you know, most of them haven't yet. There's still, the jury's still out on some. I mean, Tegan Knox just came back. Hit Row hasn't really got anything they could sink their teeth into. Karrion Kross, different story. But I look at this as, like, not – as Paul Levesque not adding, like, acts and talent that are going to be, like, main event level people, you know? Like, this isn't Tegan Knox, I don't think she's going to be in the title picture for a bit until she gets over more, you know? And the question is she going to have an opportunity to do that? And I think that's the balance. But I see those additions and Darren, like, I'd love to know where you're at on this, as like additions for depth, not like, oh, look at all these main eventers that I'm bringing on board. Like, does that change? If you knew that for a fact, Darren, would that change your perception of the additions?
Not necessarily, but I mean, that is a very valid point that they desperately needed some depth, but you kind of hope that a lot of these people will break out of the pack. Tegan, for instance, I think she has a lot of potential, but she lost last week.
Yeah.
She lost in, like, I don't know, like a minute or two this week. So, I mean, naturally, with WWE, certain tradition of booking, like, you get the feeling like, yeah, that's it for her. So we shouldn't really invest in her. Yeah, you could build her up and hope people get behind her, but this ain't the way to do it. So, it's tough.
He's got to make some choices. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Sean, back to you, man.
Yeah, and like I said, I preface all this by saying I like a lot of what WWE is doing, but I just want to be honest and call out when something's not good or there's stuff that they need. Like Todd Martin on The Fix next week, man. I want to hear what you think about this because I want to hear if I'm way off base on this or if he cares as much as I do or not. But there's things about it that I just. The injury angle was bad. And then, like I said, and then even with Shayna, you go back to the Shayna thing. Like, she just gets rolled up. You know, I know it's like she's a heel and right now and what they're doing. Like, they're just trying to get it over, get over on her. But it's just like what they've done with Shayna, I just think is she the best ever? Would she be the best ever if they pushed her to a heavy level? Maybe not. But she was really – she was great in NXT. And they've just done her no favors. It's not all WWE's fault. It's probably both ways in some extent. But Shayna just, oh, my gosh. So there's so many things about the Gauntlet match I didn't like that it was hard to enjoy it because other than I think Raquel has potential, and I'm curious to see where they go. I want to see what they do next week with that match. But, again, the way they've done this injury angle is what I don't like about it. It leads me to my last point was I did love the Cena video package. Like I said, people hate on John Cena. There's things about John Cena I don't like. I've been going back watching a lot of matches of his from the past, and the what's the hold he had on the ground? STF.
The STF.
He would used to put that on so bad. It was. Yeah, it was so bad there for a while. Toward the end, it was really, really bad. It was like, oh my gosh, dude! Like the guy's not even. His head's not even being squeezed, and he's just like, oh, my head hurts. It's like, come on. But Cena is a great performer. He always has been. He's a great wrestler. He's gotten so much better over time, and he's great for WWE, what he's meant to them. And I respect what he's done. I really have. The video package really did a good job of showing that, even though we do know, but they do a good job with their packages. It was very well done. And I'm with you guys as far as, I don't want Roman getting pinned either. I just don't. Like, wait till it means something. Wait till it's big at a WrestleMania, at a SummerSlam. Let this story keep its course. It's got some good legs. I thought Sammy was great tonight, as he always is. Roman, just the aura he has now as a heel is just fantastic. I just love it. Thank you, WWE, for even though you were 5 years too late, it's what you've done with it is fantastic. I'm glad you went that route. Thank you. I just thank you, Vince. You did one thing well. You started it. Thank you. And that's the only thing I'll thank you for, but and for being a great promoter as far as what you did at promoting wrestling. But all in all, guys, I appreciate all you do. I want to say Brad, you know, Kyle, Javier, who's awesome, all the guys who call in all the time. I wish all you guys a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I'm glad we have a platform to be able to speak our minds about wrestling, something we love and enjoy. Darren, I appreciate talking to you. I hopefully get a podcast with you about Impact at some point, because Deanna, the stuff they're doing with her kind of drives me a little crazy. That's another story. It's another podcast altogether. Zach, bring on the canvas back, Zach. We miss it, bro. What are you doing? There's this great show you have, and now also it's just gone. But no, I know. You'll bring it back when you have time, man. I appreciate all you do for that show and what you bring to the – I got to listen to the flagship tomorrow because I got to hear all what you said with Wade. Sorry I'm rambling, but I appreciate all you guys do, and thank you for taking my call, as always.
Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks so much, man. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you, too. Always good to talk wrestling with you, dude. Have a wonderful weekend, and On the Canvas will be back. Don't worry. Don't you fret. It will be back. All right, let's keep the callers rolling here. We'll go to, let's see, let me go to the switchboard here. Ryan in Cumberland, Maryland. Ryan, thanks for waiting. What'd you think of SmackDown tonight, my friend?
It was a fine show. Maybe a little bit below average just because you sort of know, like, the results beforehand, even if you haven't seen them, you know, that, you know, something big is not really going to happen. But first question's on Roman Reigns and Kevin Owens. I heard there was like a rumor that there was some friction that Roman was upset with Kevin Owens. Have they sort of like buried the hatchet yet, or you think there's still some stuff going on between those two, not getting along backstage or outside the ring?
From what I understand, that was squashed pretty much instantly. Like, there was a spot that was mistimed in the ring during the War Games match, and it involved Kevin Owens and it involved Roman Reigns. And the news coming out of the show was that Reigns was a little peeved about it, but that it didn't linger, you know, more than, you know, just a few minutes, like that it wasn't anything serious. So no, Ryan, I don't think that there's anything extra going on there. I mean, those guys have feuded a lot together. And I think both are on record as having, you know, very positive things to say about the other. They've worked with each other a lot over the years in a variety of different ways, whether it was at the top of the card during the Thunderdome era for the U.S. Championship years ago. So they've got a lot of match time together. So no, I think it was just a in the moment type thing, and it's over. Darren, did you hear anything that contradicts that info from me or no? Okay.
Everything I heard was very similar, just kind of in the heat of the moment, you know, you get hit a little bit extra. Yeah, you're going to be hot about it, and I certainly understand that, but you're going to have those flare-ups. From all accounts, they're both two professionals, and they'll, you know, that's something that just flares up, and they'll let it go, and they'll do business. From all accounts of what I've ever heard about either of them. So I wouldn't expect any kind of friction lingering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back to you, Ryan. What's your second question for us tonight?
My second question is on the LA Knight and Bray Wyatt feud. Is it possible the first time they wrestle each other will be at a house show, since Bray hasn't wrestled for the last 2 or 3 years, and that might be a good way to get some ring rust out of the way in front of like a smaller audience instead of the Royal Rumble, which is supposed to be the big match that's rumored for them?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I would imagine that they would take this and run it on the house show circuit, you know, just depending on what kind of match it's going to be. I mean, look, I don't think this match, I mean, it's LA Knight, it's Bray Wyatt, if they do it. I don't even know that you could. I think it's going to be more of a squash than anything. And so in that instant, I don't know that you have to try it out on the house show loop. But, you know, that's a great way, and that's a way a lot of talents, you know, got to, quote-unquote, practice the matches. And so there's less of them these days, that's for sure. But I wouldn't be surprised, especially – I mean, I think they have, like, some big post-holiday house shows coming up at MSG. You know, I don't know if maybe Bray Wyatt's on those. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't put it past them. At the same time, you know, and I am kind of hedging here, I guess, but I don't know that you have to, because I think, Ryan, that this is going to be like an ultimate squash match that you don't necessarily need to condition fully for either. But it brings up a broader question, Ryan. So let me use this as a launching pad really quick. We heard from Bray Wyatt tonight, Darren, and, you know, it was an interesting promo once again. I think it was a small little chapter in whatever story is going on now. But certainly it was nothing definitive. Like, you don't really know yet how you're supposed to feel about Bray Wyatt. You don't know how you're supposed to feel about, like, Uncle Howdy, or do you believe Bray Wyatt or not? What's LA Knight's role in all this? Like, so it's still all very muddy to me. And one of the issues that I've always had with the Bray Wyatt stuff is that it rarely got unmuddy. Like, it just kind of stayed muddy, kind of paid off that way, and then went on to something else. And a big kind of thing that I'm looking at for this run of Bray Wyatt is to clean some of this stuff up, get to where you want to go, and then move on. But, like, not everything has to be this, like, oh, we don't know how to feel about this, or is Bray telling the truth? Like, eventually that kind of runs its course, and you still have to be, you know, a pro wrestling character and not a character in, you know, a movie. And so I'm just not seeing that yet. And it's still new, and I'm still willing to give it, like, the time, because it is cool. But the tones are similar to what we've seen before. Is that worrying you at all, or are you all super invested and ready for whatever way it goes, or somewhere in between?
It is definitely worrying me, because last week we had the thing where we established that Uncle Howdy is a different person, but this week they go and muddy up the situation again where you're like, there's some gray area. You know, he attacked the cameraman, and so maybe, you know, he is
yeah.
something is definitely up. So there's still that question. So that concerns me that they keep dragging it up. To go back to Ryan's comment, by the time him and LA Knight have their first match, it might be at a house show in 2025 at this rate. Oh, geez.
Yes.
So, yeah, let's get to it.
Yes, well, that's a good point. I mean, yeah, man. I mean, yeah. At this point, it's like, you know, like, LA Knight just – Bray Wyatt wrestling – I'm trying to get my thoughts on this because – or, like, just get organized with it, because I don't want it to be just, like, a rant. But
sure.
The thing is, it's like, when Bray Wyatt gets in the ring, like, I kind of think it should be, like, a big deal, like a big moment. And then, you know, opposite LA Knight, it's just not going to be, you know, because LA Knight is not presented as anything other than – you know, the guy who's working with Bray Wyatt right now and who's going to get squashed by Bray Wyatt if and when they have a match. And it's like, you know, that can be something that, if it's done right, I suppose it can make Bray Wyatt and this new iteration of Bray Wyatt look really good, you know, and get it on track. But it also can slow momentum for it too, when it's like, okay, so, like, we had, like, 4 months of this, and then he just beat LA Knight of all people. Like, that's it. Like, it can slow the momentum if it's not done right. So, you know, if they don't get to it quick, I think they are playing with fire a little bit. Just because LA Knight's not a really big star. Like, is he going to, like, the match that they're building really is, like, Bray against whoever this Uncle Howdy guy is. And it's like, to me, there's value in seeing Bray Wyatt wrestle for the first time in that match. You know, that's the story you're telling. So, you know, do you want to, like, kind of lose some of the allure and lose some of the intrigue with a match with LA Knight of all people? I just don't know how I feel about that at this point.
Yeah, it looks like that's where we're headed, though.
Yeah,
and also, we're going back into that pattern again of whoever Bray wrestles gets diminished, because I don't think LA Knight is enhanced by his feud. Sure, he's getting some prominent airtime, but his character is being diminished, I feel.
Well, yeah, right. I mean, he's losing a lot of the – he's forced to, like, lose his swagger and whatnot because, you know,
right.
I mean, he's just getting overshadowed by Bray. We'll see. We'll see. You know, the angle this week was kind of – you know, it was short, sweet, and it didn't really make a ton of sense. But so that happens with Bray stuff sometimes. I'm waiting – I still have an open mind, Darren. Are you open-minded on this, or are you convinced it's going to be not good? Okay.
I mean, the signs aren't great, but it's still early, and I will give it an open mind. It could course correct, but I'm losing optimism with each week, so we'll see.
Yes. Ryan, thanks for bringing up Bray Wyatt. Back to you for your final question of the night.
My final question is on Ricochet and Samantha Irvin. How Reverend Keith brought that up, that they're a couple, and it came up tonight on the show, and Madcap and Emma are a couple. Is there anyone else that it's public knowledge that there's couples in WWE that, you know, might be low radar, but it's like public knowledge? You know, like there's Corey Graves, you know, everyone knows who his wife is, but, you know, is there like anyone that's like lower on the radar, but it's public knowledge?
I mean, I think there's quite a few would be my guess. And like, I mean, I know Cora Jade and Bron Breakker are an item. I don't think they're married, but I know that they're an item. You mentioned Carmella and Corey Graves. They're recently married. So yeah, I mean, I think that there's been a lot of that. Just because, you know, you have people coming up together, they're young, and they're at the Performance Center, and, I mean, it's, you know, like, why wouldn't it go down that way, you know? And so I think you'll see more and more of that. But nothing else rings a bell, but my guess is it's certainly out there. Darren, is there anybody else that I'm missing?
Braun Strowman and Raquel Rodriguez.
Oh, that's right. Yep, good. Yep.
Let's see. Who was Shayna Baszler and what's her name that's in Bayley's group?
Dakota Kai, I believe.
Correct.
Yep.
And Liv Morgan and potentially Uncle Howdy.
Uncle Howdy, yes.
Possibly,
yep.
If that pans out the way we think it is.
Yeah. So there's a few more for you, Ryan. And there's probably more than that we're forgetting. I'd venture to guess that's true. But but back to you, man.
Yeah. I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but that Xia Li angle that they did, was that supposed to be a longer-term storyline? Because I heard a lot of fans were claiming that was Mandy Rose, and they sort of just rushed it. So to get that out of the way, to not cause controversy.
Oh, the thing when she was under, like dressed in all black last week? Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah, they showed a clip of it, you know. Again, you know.
Yeah.
A digital media clip where it was revealed.
Yeah, it did seem like an audible. Let me put it that way. I don't know, you know, what the exact plan was, obviously. And if it involved Mandy Rose, obviously that, you know, had to get changed last second. But it certainly didn't feel like, you know, like anything that was like thought out like weeks and weeks on end. It was like, hey, this person is going to come in from the crowd. We're going to mention it for like 5 seconds the following week and then treat Xia Li as if she's, you know, somebody totally different than that character. So yeah, I mean, that's how it came across to me, Darren. It was kind of like, all right, well, we're doing this because we don't know what else to do. We got to get out of it somehow. So let's do it. And then let's just move on.
That was my thing. Very sudden. Right. And they don't usually do things that way. It was like, here's the reveal. Like, okay. Fine.
Right.
So, yeah,
right.
Something seems up, but who knows?
Yeah. No, I think you're on point there, Ryan. It seemed abrupt. It seemed out of place. And like her act tonight just didn't seem to really kind of connect with that last week at all. And so, yeah, I mean, props to WWE for kind of trying to like tie the story together, but they did like almost like not even bare minimum to in order to do that. And I think that tells you all you need to know about the angle and their confidence in it and how happy they were with it. So, yeah, I think you're on point there, Ryan.
All right. Merry Christmas to you, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, same to you, Ryan. Merry Christmas to you as well, man. Happy holidays, and thanks for making it, man, as always. Appreciate you, and talk soon. All right, let's go to a quick email here. I want to get to this email, and then we will go to Jay, who's waiting. Wade writes to us from New Zealand, I believe. Isaac and Darren, happy holidays and season's greetings for all. Sending love from New Zealand to you all. And to my team, the Chicago Bears. That away, Wade. I mean, sorry. I'm sorry, but maybe next year. Maybe next year. Wade continues on and says, I have to say, this episode started strong with the strongest thing in all professional wrestling, the Bloodline. I love that promo by Sammy. Sammy is literal can't miss at the moment. But this episode ended so poorly with the trash Vince-esque gimmick match. I mean, it was better than the pumpkins on the head faces, pumpkins on the head and faces smashed into cakes, but it was trash TV. Hopefully the kids and the casual fans loved it as they are the obvious target audience. I hope that they book this Cross versus Mysterio feud well, because for me, Cross is on the verge, is verging on the edge of pointlessness. He is now a bully heel going after older, smaller wrestlers. I love Ray, but Cross has to dominate this feud if he's going to survive on TV much longer. I did like the tangle of Emma getting involved and adding more strings to things with Scarlett. Finally, I hope Javier comes on tonight, as I look forward to hearing his opinion on Bray's latest chapter. That said, I look forward to hearing from you both on your opinions too. Well, thank you, Wade. I appreciate it. We got to a lot of that, but the one thing that I want to dive into is the Emma and Scarlett thing. Like, I don't know, Darren. I want to look at that and go, okay, this is something, but because of where Emma was and where she's been since she came back to the company, like, I just am not looking at this as anything more than just squash match, you know, Scarlett beats Emma in just seconds, and maybe we probably don't even ever hear anything again after that. I think Scarlett can be used more effectively, but unless this is going to lead to her wrestling bigger matches down the road, like, this, it's just not going to matter or resonate with me until there's just more around it. And it's not, you know, unfortunately, you know, against someone the likes of Emma at this point, who's just been a, you know, a glorified just kind of loser on the show with not a lot of credibility behind her.
I anticipate this being something short term, unless maybe they're just playing into, I know that, Cross had run over Madcap like a couple, maybe like a month ago. So maybe they're going to try to tie into that.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would do that necessarily, but maybe that's something they're headed towards. Other than that, maybe they just want to add some smoke and mirrors to the program with Ray. So maybe that's getting Emma involved will maybe kind of give legs to that feud perhaps. So maybe they're thinking something that way.
I think you're making a good prediction as far as the Madcap stuff goes. And I think it also kind of speaks to what we've mentioned before, where it's like, all right, Karrion Kross, you're now on the show, but you're working a program and an angle with Madcap. Like, that's probably not what you had in mind, and it's probably not what Paul Levesque had in mind for you when he brought you in. And yet, that's where he may be at this point. Because, I mean, that makes more sense than anything else, Darren. I think that's a good call-up. But I just don't know what it says for Karrion Kross and his, like, long-term viability as a top guy.
No, but they're giving him a chance, so I guess that's a ray of light. But,
yeah.
But I mean, at some point, you're going to start getting those chances.
Right. Well, exactly. All right. Wade, thanks so much for the email, man. Appreciate it. And, yeah, go Bears. All right. We're going to go to Jay in Michigan. Jay, thanks for holding, man. What's going on? Happy holidays. What'd you think of SmackDown?
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy holidays to you all and your families. Well, I think I'm kind of coming on in the portion of the show where most of the topics have been kind of covered. So I guess I'll just kind of expound upon a few. But I'm wondering, like,
yeah.
to be honest with you, man, the whole Bray Wyatt thing, I mean, I was excited as anybody when he first returned, but I'm not going to be one of those guys that are like, hurry up, get to the point, because I'm a fan of storytelling, but I'm just not really seeing where this is going. And I don't know if that's, you know, that can be a good thing at times, but this doesn't feel like a good thing. Like, I like LA Knight. I kind of like what he's done, but it just feels weird. Like you were saying, man, like, what is the, I mean, like, is this really what it is with Bray Wyatt, like LA Knight? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it just doesn't feel like important enough. And I just don't really see, I mean, obviously we're going to get to this Uncle Howdy thing, but it just feels very disjointed, man. It doesn't feel cohesive. And, you know, for all of the genius that we've heard and know Bray Wyatt to be, and, you know, the reverence that Triple H, that we have for Triple H, I mean, like, I just don't know where this is going and, like, if I'm truly interested in where it lands. And I was, like, when he first came back, you know, I felt like this was going to be, like, a journey. But I'm just not really, like, as invested as I would like to be in it. Like, I don't get excited for the Bray Wyatt segments anymore. And, you know, and are you guys kind of feeling that way? I know you guys did talk about it a little bit, but, like, that's really one of the things that is on my mind for tonight. Just, are you guys just feeling kind of that same way? Like,
I am, Jay. And the reason I am, because I was thinking about this the other day, too. Like, when they, I forget what it was. Oh, they brought something up about Bray Wyatt on Raw. They were recapping something that happened the week before. It was the Uncle Howdy thing. That's what it was. They were recapping that whole appearance on Raw this week. And I was thinking to myself, like, I think the biggest issue with Bray Wyatt's return so far is that nobody really knows how they're supposed to feel about him. It's like there's elements of, oh, man, I feel bad for this guy. And then, you know, he turns around and he beats up a cameraman, you know, like, it's not consistent. And so because you don't have that, like, root with him in terms of, like, oh, man, I'm behind this guy's recovery, right? Or I'm behind him, you know, making the comeback and being a better guy. Or I'm behind him, like, vanquishing his demons. Like, that is something I think people can connect with long term. This, it's like, I feel like you're constantly in a position of waiting for something else to hit, waiting for the next twist or the next turn. And it creates a sense of, like, it doesn't give you the opportunity to invest well enough. That's my issue with it, Darren, is, like, I'm looking for investment. I'm looking for – and maybe it is – it certainly seems like that's too simple for what Bray Wyatt likes to do. But I think that's what's going to resonate with the audience most, you know, at least right now. Like, you have to give them a reason to invest first. And then you can kind of tiptoe around that and tell some other stories and whatnot. But without having that root there, like, I really think that it's going to be hard for people to fully, like, dive in like you're talking about, Jay. Darren, how about you? What's the biggest issue for you?
I think you hit it right on the nail on the head there. You got to have something for people to get invested in, and we're getting all these abstract concepts and that kind of thing. It can be very frustrating. I agree with what Jay said. I enjoy a good storyline as well. So it's just like the Bloodline thing, but they're very tangible things at stake here. Mm-hmm. And the storytelling is very straightforward, and you can see where things are going, and there's still some mystery. But this is very disjointed, and we take one step forward, then we go back this week, and it's kind of all over the place. There's no in-ring action, and that does not help either. So, yeah, I try to have patience with these kind of things, but it's getting frustrating.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's fair, and I think, Jay, you're fair to call it out too. Back to you, man.
Yeah, my patience has just grown to a lack of interest. And like you said, that is a very important point. Like, I don't know what side to fall on with Bray. And to be honest with you, like, LA Knight's not really looking like the bad guy in this situation. And is this really
right.
It's really just it. Like, I'm not Uncle Howdy. You owe me an apology. And ha. Like, I'm just becoming, like, less interested in it. And I hate that it is like that. But, you know, I will kind of go to another point with the gauntlet match. I agree wholeheartedly with what my man Sean said and what you guys echoed. Like, the Garland mess has just been overdone at this point, man. I remember a few years ago when Seth Rollins was just ice cold and they threw him in a gauntlet match and he, you know, just caught fire again. And same way with Kofi. Like, you know, that Kofi gauntlet match was a pivotal point in the movement toward Kofi Mania, man. And, you know, this just felt like it didn't do anybody any service, you know. I mean, outside of Raquel, which, again, like you said, maybe that is the point, but you know, just like the way they did Shayna, I mean, like, what are we really doing here? You know what I mean? And like, what's honestly, man, I don't want to belabor this point or anything, but like, if we go from Vince to Triple H, like, not much has really changed, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, Triple H has brought some guys in for depth, some guys that are his guys, if you will, but they're being used as much as guys that Vince didn't use when he weren't using guys, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, it's just guys that are there. You know, the main stories are still kind of the main stories. I mean, with Damage Control, I don't think Damage Control would have been booked any differently if Vince was doing it. You know what I mean? The stuff that happened with Shayna tonight, like, Vince would have pretty much did the same thing. Like, I don't see no high Johnny Gargano. If Vince knew who he was, that's probably how he would have booked him. I mean, like, I'm not seeing anything. Karrion Kross is just kind of there. Like, I'm not seeing anything really, really, like, monumental being done, and that's not to criticize Triple H. But I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe things weren't as bad as we thought they were outside of the initial excitement that Triple H brought. Like, things just kind of feel like they haven't changed much, in my opinion. Not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm just saying,
I think
like, that's the reality of it to me.
Well, and I think that's true. I mean, I think that is the reality where, you know, minor things have changed, you know. I think the depth is, you know, I think you kind of almost dismissed the depth factor, but I mean, like, that was something that Vince McMahon, like, didn't have. Like, he didn't have it, didn't care about it either. Like, you know, and so I think Triple H has added depth to both Raw and SmackDown. And it's, you know, I think you may not see the fruits of that, like, so quick here, but, like, a year from now where, you know, all those people have been in place now for a year plus, you know, and the matches are maybe at least a little fresher, like, that will, I think, resonate. But I also think it's fair to say, too, that, you know, part of the mission for Triple H was to not change everything. Like, it had to be, at least in the short term here, and it's only been 5 months, you know, 6 months maybe. Like, the big picture stuff, I think, is going to take a lot more time. Like, it's going to be slow changes because the bottom line is they've got big TV deals on the line. They've got different licensing partners, sponsorship partners in place. You know, you don't want to do anything to rock that boat. You want to be able to show those partners that you can maintain the status quo without Vince McMahon and still be a top, you know, a top player in your business. And that's the mission I still think right now. I think, though, coming out of WrestleMania, going into next year's SummerSlam, and, you know, by the WrestleMania after that, where we've had a long time to see the accumulation of these small changes add up, that's when I think you'll start to really see, like, his full vision. And it may be the exact same. I mean, it may not change at all, but I think you'll have to really wait that long to see any kind of grandiose changes that he made just because he's not able to, you know, just kind of up and pivot on stuff. Darren, what do you think?
I agree. There have been no big wholesale changes because you don't want to rock the boat again with the partners, as you mentioned, and then the stockholders with the big changeover. So for that reason, I certainly understand. But there have been improvements. Like, you don't have as many of the repetitive matches. Like, you'd see a guy facing each other like 3-4 weeks in a row. You don't see as much of that anymore. A lot of the silliness about, oh, we can't say, you know, a belt or going to the hospital. A lot of that silliness has been, it's been ended. And backstage, from what I gather, it's less walking on eggshells about, oh, this guy sneezed, you know, that kind of silliness. And so that's a big morale booster, I'm sure, I mean, who wants to deal with that kind of stuff? With that said, though, a lot of it is the same, and it's kind of a shame. Raw is still 3 hours, and it's it improved like almost immediately when Triple H took over. But to me, anyway, and again, that's my taste. It seems to be dragging again a little bit. Like it's a chore to get through SmackDown, except for like the Bloodline storyline. Sure, there have been improvements like Imperium and that kind of thing. A lot of it is skippable, though. I mean, like tonight, if you were to miss SmackDown tonight, what did you really miss?
Yeah, well, tonight's kind of a bad
thing.
I get what you're saying, though.
Special, yeah. But a lot of weeks it is like that. Like if Roman's not appearing or there's not a big Bloodline segment, it's like, yeah, I'll catch the YouTube clips or whatever.
Sure, sure. Yeah, fair. Jay, what did you think about what we said and any other final topics for us tonight, man?
Yeah, that's exactly what you said is kind of exactly how I've been feeling, which is why I've really spoken to is exactly why I really was speaking to the point that I was making, because it's like I feel like I've drifted back into that space of like not really needing to see Raw, you know, like, I mean, Raw just does feel like it drags again, man, and it doesn't feel like it's anything spectacular. And I haven't, with the exception of, again, you know, Bloodline segment and this Bray stuff is not really, like, picked up. You know, SmackDown is nothing that I really need to see either. So it's like, you know, I feel myself pretty much getting back into the same space that I was in prior to Triple H taking over. And I guess that's why I say not much has really changed, but I don't, again, say that to knock Triple H, and I agree with what you guys are saying. Maybe it's going to take some time for, you know, it's really, you know, to really, really see the implementation, or maybe this is just kind of it. We don't know, but I just feel myself drifting back into that space of like, I catch some YouTube clips, I listen to some podcasts when I got time, and then we'll just kind of, you know, do it like that. But, yeah, I mean, just I enjoy some elements of the product as a whole, but, you know, in general, man, I just feel like, again, Raw's dragging, SmackDown is nothing really exciting when the Bloodline isn't around, and, you know, I'm just hoping we start picking up momentum again to get, like, back to where it was when Triple H first took over. It was just, like, everything was exciting. Like, I want to feel that, I want to feel that excitement as a fan again, and only thing that really does it for me is the Roman Bloodline stuff, and, you know, maybe some Seth Rollins here and there, but I feel like they've kind of like started to muddy the waters on his character. So, you know, man, I'm just.
Well, Jay, let me ask you this: Will the Royal Rumble, you know, elicit some of that interest back, and the fact that, you know, it'll be a fresh year, WrestleMania is around the corner. Like, I think the time of year has something to do with this too. Is like, it's a down time, you know? I think that's, you factor that in, but I mean, maybe not. I mean, that's why I asked, like, will that be something that kind of ignites things for you?
Royal Rumble time is always an exciting time for me. And like, you know, that's always been my favorite show. So yes, I'm extremely excited about the Royal Rumble, but This time is usually a down period, but I didn't just start feeling this way during this time. Like, I think I felt this way.
Sure.
Know, maybe since around, like, I think around, even though it wasn't like a bad match or anything, but like right around the time when they entered into the Logan Paul Roman program, that's when I was kind of like, all right, I mean, like, I get it, but what's really going on here? Like, I just felt like things kind of started to slow down at that point. And, you know, if you asked me, like, at that, you know, before that, like, I was just looking at the Royal Rumble like, man, I can't wait until the Rumble because there's so many possibilities and all of these, you know, options to go in. But, like, now it's just like, I'll be happy when it comes and it'll kickstart the new year. But, you know, I just feel like the product has been dragging a little bit the last few months, man. And that's really just where I stand. But I will be all in when it comes time for the Rumble. And I'm looking forward to seeing what comes next. But yeah, that's just really how I feel about things.
Yeah, fair enough, man. Fair enough. You make good arguments. That's for sure. That's for sure. Anything else, Jay? Appreciate the call, man.
No, I don't have anything else. I think everything pretty much been covered thoroughly, man. You guys are doing a great job tonight. Again, thanks for having me. Merry Christmas to you all and to all of the, you know, I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to call again before the year's out, but, man, all of the regular callers, I truly look forward to hearing your voices every week, man, and, you know, all of the hosts outside of Wade himself. I mean, Wade, of course, but, you know, all you guys, man, you guys do a great job. And like Sean said, man, I enjoy this platform, you know, getting the call up and just, you know, talking about things that we enjoy, things we don't enjoy. And, like, when it's, you know, like wrestling is just like a – I mean, wrestling is like a love story, man. Like, when you really, really into it, it's nothing better. But then when you, like, not feeling it, man, it gets pretty rough. So, you know, I just enjoy being able to, whether I'm totally in or not feeling it, man, I love having the opportunity to call up and talk to you guys about it. And I love hearing from everybody else as well, especially the regulars, man. So, you know, you guys take care. Be safe out there. It's cold as hell. And have a good night.
Yeah, you too, Jay. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for making the call. And yes, stay safe out there as well and appreciate it. And we'll make sure to talk soon for sure. Thank you. All right, Darren. Well, we will we'll wrap up here with one final email. And this is one final or two. Let me see here. Yeah, one final email. And it is from Jay in New York. Because hello, in a previous email, I stated that I think Bray Wyatt is Uncle Howdy. In this email, I'm giving my reason for this theory. The Bray Wyatt character is, in my opinion, a study in mental illness and violent tendencies. The demented Mr. Rogers, the cult leader, and the Fiend are three distinct personas in his mind that don't particularly get along. The Fiend would push the others aside and take over. Now I believe Bray has manifested new personas that are even more twisted. Uncle Howdy criticized Bray for sending the Fiend away, yet he called the cult leader a snake in a cage. On Twitter, his handle is Wyatt6. Well, the cult leader, the Fiend, the demented Mr. Rogers, Uncle Howdy, the White Rabbit, and the normal Bray make six. Which one attacked that cameraman? Was that the cult leader? Right as he said, "I'm not Uncle Howdy," he lost his thought, got violent, and had a faraway look in his eyes. I think that was the Fiend. If you're still reading this, sorry for the mini novel I wrote here. Thanks and take care. Jay from New York. No, Jay, that's good stuff, man. I mean, like, I think, you know, that is good analysis and potentially, like, really fun analysis for people that are really into this thing, Darren. And I think, like, if you're Bray Wyatt and you're putting together this story, you want to read emails like that. Like, that's good feedback for you, because it's like people are into it. People are trying to figure out what's going on. People are, you know, reading into the past and into the previous iterations of his character. Like, I think what Jay's doing here is very much what Bray Wyatt is going for. And Jay, you did a nice job breaking it down for sure. I just don't know that there's enough of a market, Darren, for people that are going to do that, you know, like, and if you don't do that, can you still get the character, like, on a different kind of level? Like, that's the key. And I don't think he's gotten there yet with other pieces of the character and other different acts. Like, it's like, if you really dug into it, okay, you could get to a place where that all makes sense and is really interesting. But if you decide not to go down the rabbit hole, can you still understand it on some level? That's where I have questions. And so I think this is a really interesting email to get for that reason, because it's like, yeah, this is a cool breakdown of what it could be. It makes sense. But, like, if 1 in 100 people do this, like, that's kind of a miss if you're thinking about it broadly from a TV perspective. Darren?
Oh, yeah. I like the scenario that Jay brought up. I think that's pretty deep for a wrestling storyline, and it certainly could still play out that way, the way that they've laid the groundwork for. That certainly could happen. The door is open for that. It's an intriguing way to do it if they were to go that route. Problem is, how are they going to circle that back to an in-ring feud, which is the basis of professional wrestling? It always comes back to that. And I just don't understand how they're going to make that a compelling in-ring feud, which is the whole issue. How's that going to translate to the ring? And surely they've thought of that, but and it's taken a while to get there. But again, I guess we have to be patient, see how it's going to play out. But I think that's a big issue to see how it's going to work.
Yeah, that's you're right. That's a good point. Yep. I mean, you can't wrestle yourself. Like, you can't have one of the Brave Six, like, wrestle himself. That can't happen. Like, it has to be – yeah, that's a really good – it's a good call-out, man. It's an issue. It's an issue for sure. Thanks for the email, Jay. Great stuff. All right, Darren, we will wrap up on that note. Before we do, though, man, you do a wonderful job covering Impact Wrestling for the Torch with podcasts and pay-per-view reports and weekly show reports and everything in between with Impact Wrestling. I think it's generally, folks, like, some of the best Impact coverage that's out there is Darren's work. Talk about it. Talk about what you do on a daily basis. Talk about the podcast. And just take a minute and plug all your great work.
Well, thank you very much for the very kind words. I'm a contributor for The Torch. I do the Impact Wrestling TV recap every week. So after this show, you can usually check the following morning. It's usually up. And I do a podcast most weeks to follow up on that and try to expound on what's going on in Impact. Currently, they're headed towards the Hard to Kill pay-per-view, which I believe is January 13th or 14th, whatever that Friday is. And it's going to be Bully Ray, who I'm not the biggest fan of the Red, but he'll be challenging for the Impact title. The champion is currently Josh Alexander, who has excellent matches. So that's where we're headed. So to tune in to see my thoughts on that. And, and I appreciate your kind words. If you want to find me on social media, kind of not very active on Twitter, and I don't expect that to increase with the goings on there. But you can find me on Instagram, lots of fun pictures, wrestling-related stuff. On Instagram, you can find me at DKLSTL.
All right, very good. And you can follow our brand on Twitter at PWTorch. That's at PWTorch. And you can follow me on Twitter at ZHeydornTorch, ZHeydornTorch Torch. Once again, Wade will be on the VIP side of things later tonight, running down SmackDown on the Wade Keller Hotline. It's a VIP exclusive show, pwtorch.com/goVIP for more information on VIP membership. As you're out there exploring all the Torch content, head over to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/PWTorch. Subscribe. We've got live content there every single day, fresh stuff exclusive to YouTube. So whether it's previewing Raw, NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown, or it's our just weekly news show that we do, that Tyler Sage and I do, or in interviews, a variety of different interviews are up there and pop up all throughout the week. So, but check it out. Subscribe so that you're up to speed on the material that gets posted there. I think we're super pumped to have relaunched the channel this year, and are really excited for a big year with it in 2023. So don't miss out and subscribe now. Darren, happy holidays, my friend. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for joining me today, man. I appreciate it. It's been a blast to work with you.
You too. Thank you very much. And best wishes to you and your family as well.
Appreciate it. Thanks to our listeners. Thanks to our emailers. Thanks to our callers. Have a very Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Stay safe. Stay warm. And we will talk to you very, very soon. See ya.